Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to On Air with Russell of Hotels, only on LA Talk Radio.
Welcome to On Air with Russell of Hotels, where we talk about everything hospitality, from hotels to influencers and everything in between. We will feature guest interviews with hospitality professionals who will share their experiences. Your host, Russell Edmond, has spent over 25 years in the hospitality industry, beginning his career with Marriott International in hotel operations, before moving into the sales arena and becoming a relationship-building director of sales and marketing. Russell then went to the other side as a hospitality entrepreneur. He now consults in the hotel and meeting space, which includes being the CEO of Russell of Hotels Group. Did I mention he was a veggie foodie? Yes, Russell is always looking for good non-meat eats. Please welcome your host, Russell Edmond.
Good afternoon, and thank you for joining On Air with Russell Hotels. Hope all is well today. Happy Tuesday. Happy Taco Tuesday, right? Every Tuesday, I'm cooking something vegan at the house, right? Did you know that corn tortillas are naturally vegan? They don't have dairy or cheese, or they're not even made with lard. Did you know that? Now you have to be careful with the flour tortillas. I'm only speaking of corn tortillas, but you have to be careful with the flour ones. The flour ones do mostly contain lard, so you have to look at the ingredients. But they do have vegan flour tortillas as well, just in case you wanted to know. I don't know why I got into that, because it's Taco Tuesday, and you know I'm going to be making tacos later today. And today I'm doing jackfruit tacos. So I already shredded my jackfruit, cut up some onions, some green chili, like Anaheim chili. So I cut that up already, or diced it and put it all together. I just haven't prepared it. I haven't cooked it yet, but it's in the refrigerator. So when I get home, it's already prepped. So, you know, part of cooking is the prep, right? If you have everything prepped, then the cooking doesn't take that long. So always make sure, if you can, take time, prep your food, and then that way it doesn't take a lot of cooking time because you've already prepped, right? So that's what I'm doing. So, and I have some spices from Santa Fe, the city different, hashtag the city different. So I'm going to use my smoked green chili powder to use as well. So I'm already getting hungry. What about you? Anyway, thank you for joining. I don't know how I got on that, but thank you for joining On Air with Russell of Hotels, live radio show. So this is live, so there's no take two. You know, this is it. So it's Tuesday afternoon, about 1:03. I'm in Sherman Oaks, California. I'm overlooking Riverside Boulevard, and I'm off of Woodman. So I'm overlooking Notre Dame High School right now, which is in Sherman Oaks. There you go. And it's about 70-something degrees today. Actually, kind of pretty warm for, isn't it pretty warm for, I guess, November? November 12th, I believe today is. So, you know, I don't like that, but we do what we have to do. We just keep it moving. So what's going on, huh? Industry news. You know, when I find industry news, I just... there's no rhyme or reason why I pick certain things. I just pick them, and then I just start talking about it. So I remember, I guess it was last year when this whole, like, marijuana thing started coming up and, you know, cannabis operations, and some people were thinking, you know, there's going to be cannabis hotels and things like that. And I'm pretty sure there are cannabis-related hotels. But, you know, but is it prevalent? Is it in your face? Do you see it a lot? Do you hear about it? Well, I happen to be reading something, you know, as I always do, reading some industry news, and I said, you know what, maybe I'll talk about cannabis in hotels. Has anything changed? You know, do you go to hotels and you're like, people are like smoking up, you know, you walk in and you smell pot or cannabis in hotel lobbies? Did you think that was going to happen? I don't know. Anyway, I have to put my glasses on because I can't read what I'm about to say. Okay, has anything changed? That was it. So that's my part of my industry news today. Cannabis and hotels. Has anything changed? Are hotel bars selling cannabis? Cannabis-infused drinks? Have you been to a bar yet that they have cannabis-infused drinks? If you have, let me know. I just haven't been to a bar and they have had that or they're promoting it. I haven't seen it. I haven't read it anywhere. I haven't, you know, heard any groups talking about, hey, let's do something different. Let's do some cannabis-infused drinks, you know, things like that. No, I haven't heard that. So are hotels selling, are we seeing bud bars, you know, bud bars, right? You know, the buds, the you know, the marijuana buds or whatever. Do we see bud bars popping up? I haven't seen that. Are we hosting parties with marijuana lace edibles? Now, I have heard that. I mean, this is more, you know, people outside of our industry are doing it. They're doing that at home and they're taking it to work and having people try it. I've heard of that. Now, I haven't tried any of that myself and I'm not sure if I will. But have you heard this? And I'm trying to relate all this to, you know, to the hotel industry or the hospitality industry, you know, the mainstream. You go to bars. I mean, we all go out and we all, you know, have a drink here and there. But have you heard of, like I said, any cannabis laced drinks or are they serving in their food and beverage operations in the hotels? Are they serving, you know, laced edibles, marijuana laced edibles, you know, brownies laced with marijuana or infused with marijuana and things like that? What about will pot tastings be the new wine tastings? You know how you go to a hotel and you have, or a restaurant, you have wine tastings. Are they going to have pot tastings? You know, like we go back in the back room. Hey, are you here for the pot tasting? Yeah, I'm here for the pot tasting. Yeah. Oh, it's in the back room. You know, go, you know, take a bong as you're going back there. You know, is that happening? No, I haven't seen or heard anything like that. So, I mean, we always have to remember, you know, we get hot on certain things and bottom line is it's to be taxed. The marijuana is being sold is to be taxed. So the government can get money, things like that. But I just remember people making a big uproar, just like, you know, the e-cigarettes and things like that. People started smoking. But bottom line, you forget that there's rules that regulate everything, right? There's rules that govern how we can display this. And if you can actually smoke this in public places, like i.e. a hotel in the lobby or even in your room, if the hotel is non-smoking, which let's say L.A. County, all L.A. County is non-smoking, right? So you can't smoke pot in the hotels. I mean, that's just it, right? So yeah, we got excited about, or some people did, not me. Some people got excited about it, but you can't smoke anyway. So what does it matter? I remember a while back when I was a GM, this is when e-cigarettes first, you know, started being big. And a guy comes in. I mean, we have a no smoking policy at the hotel. By the pool, whatever. I mean, you have to be outside the hotel. There's designated areas, but they're outside the hotel in the parking lot. So this guy, excuse me, has one of these e-cigarettes and he's puffing away. And, you know, although they don't emit the same amount of smoke that a regular cigarette does, but they do emit something. You know, I don't know if it's more dangerous than the cigarette smoke. I don't know. And I'm not trying to, you know, get around it. So basically I tell this guy, you know, he has to, well, this is an e-cigarette, you know, you can't kick me out. I said, is it smoking? Well, yeah. I said, well, then you need to either turn this thing off, put it in your pocket, or I'm going to ask you to leave. And I said, I'm only going to ask you one time. So regardless if it's, you know, e-cigarette or a real cigarette, it's still smoking. And it's not allowed in L.A. County. In most hotels, it's not allowed. So I just thought I read that in one of the, you know, our industry rags. And, you know, they're talking about marijuana and all that stuff. And, you know, have rules changed? Have you seen this? No. And you're never going to see this in you may see this in smaller independent hotels out in the middle of nowhere, you know, maybe Palm Springs area, not throwing Palm Springs out there. But, you know, I know there's a couple of those places out in that area. But you're never going to see that in mainstream hotels. You're going to see it at the Hilton. You're not going to see it at the Marriott. You're not going to see it at the Hyatt. You're not going to see that stuff. So, but unless people are doing it illegal or bringing it in and just smoking just because, just for the heck of it, because they think they can. So I just thought I'd just mention that. Uber, Uber's $200 helicopter taxi. Who's heard of this one? Okay, so this is New York, right? So Uber, you can take an Uber from Manhattan to JFK in 8 minutes flat. Now, this is Uber helicopter, okay? So who's heard of this? I read this too in one of our industry publications. So it's a helicopter taxi. It costs, the minimum is $200. I think it went from $200 to about $280 or something like that. It's an 8 minute helicopter ride. It started back in October 7th of this year. So it rides on, you get to ride on a 5-seater helicopter. It's available every weekday afternoons from 2 to 6. So maybe that's their rush hour, 2 to 6, I guess would be rush hour. You book it through the Uber app, and Uber car would pick you up. So if I'm here and I need to go to, let's just say, well, it's Manhattan. So if I'm in wherever, if I'm in Manhattan and I need to get to JFK, which I think sometimes can take you an hour, probably more than an hour to get from Manhattan to JFK, especially between 2 and 6. Well, guess what? The option is you can take an Uber copter. So it seats up to 5 people, costs $200 to $280 per person, and it takes you, it copter lands near Terminal 8. Okay, so it transports you, a regular Uber would transport you downtown Manhattan to the heliport, to the Manhattan heliport. You get in the copter, like I said, it seats 5, and it takes you, it lands near Terminal 8 at JFK. And then an Uber car will pick you up from there and take you to your departure terminal. Sounds pretty easy, right? Just, you know, 200 something bucks. I mean, you know, you can expense that, right? So who's heard of this? Has anybody else heard of it? Has anyone else seen this or heard of it? I mean, somebody needs to, you know, chime in, let me know. You know, send me an email, russell@russellofhotels.com. Let me know if you've heard of this or if you've seen it. But it's actually happening. It's been going on since October 7th. So that's something cool, right? Maybe they start that at LAX. Because you definitely need something at LAX with, you know, all the mess that's going on there with, you know, ride shares being basically banished from going into the terminals. They have to actually post up in, I can't think of the number of the parking lot, but it's the parking lot between Terminal 1, which is Southwest Airlines, and say the Hyatt, which sits right there on Sepulveda and Century. So it's somewhere in between there. So, so there you go. So I think they open up two other lanes. So instead of one lane that they had initially, now they have 3 lanes. So maybe it's not a long wait like it was, you know, several weeks ago when it first started. But, you know, you guys let me know, chime in, because I have not flown out. I've had people, friends that have flown out or flown in. Some of them say it's a madhouse. Some of them said, it's gotten better. So let me know. But this may be an option. Maybe I can fly from, I don't know where we can go from, maybe from, I'm trying to think, Santa Monica. Maybe you can go Santa Monica to the terminal, you know, just land right by the terminal. You can walk downstairs and then get on your plane and go. So I don't know. So let's see. So if New York is doing it, you know, LA can't let just New York just do it. We have to do it too. We have to do a lot bigger than what New York is doing. So. So there you go. So thank you, L. You know, I'm just rambling about, what am I rambling about? About industry news right now. I talked about cannabis in hotels, and I talked about Uber helicopter ride. This is only in Manhattan. It's a test market, I guess. New York's a test market. So, but thank you for joining. And just in case people are just now joining in, thank you for joining On Air with Russell of Hotels. I'm Russell, the Russell of Hotels. So I'm just going through some industry news now. The next industry news is top 10 U.S. hotels opening in 2020. And there's a couple here, and maybe I think there's 10 hotels. So I'll name the top 10 hotels that are opening. The Ritz-Carlton, Paradise Valley, which is in Phoenix, outside of Phoenix. That's summer 2020. 215 luxury suites. The Godfrey Hotel in Hollywood. Now, my first show, I had Miss Natalie Finzi Gibson on the show. and she's the director of sales for there, for that, for the Godfrey Hotel. Now, do you recall that the Godfrey was scheduled to open, I believe, this past summer? Well, guess what? Newsflash, it didn't open on time. It was still not on time. So it's slated to open first quarter 2020. Okay, so I'm not sure if that's January 2020, because what does it say in here? It says early 2020 is what the publication said. So I'm not sure if it's early, if that means January, if that means, you know, March. I'm going to say first quarter, you know, probably late first quarter 2020. I haven't been by there lately, but just a little, you know, birdie told me that it's, you know, it more than likely would be late 2020. So when I get more information, I'll let you know. But that's number two. Isn't that interesting that and they didn't mention anything about construction being behind in the publication. It just said these are the top 10 hotels that are opening up for 2020. So, okay, number one was Ritz-Carlton Paradise Valley, which is in Phoenix. Number two was the Godfrey Hotel, Hollywood, early 2020. The Ben, which is an autograph collection in West Palm Beach, Florida. That's January 2020. That's the opening, you know, when they're supposed to open. 208 rooms. Lowe's Kansas City, spring 2020, 800 rooms. That's huge for Kansas City, right? I'm sure that's attached to the convention center there. What about L.A.? Are they on this list? They need an 800-room hotel attached to the convention center. Anyway, but Kansas City is getting one. A Lowe's for 800 rooms in Kansas City. Just saying. Kempton in Bozeman, Montana, early 2020. That's 122 rooms. Circa Resort and Casino, Las Vegas. As if Las Vegas needs another hotel, right? Well, obviously they do. 777 rooms, and that's December 2020. Margaritaville Resort in the NYC, late 2020, 234 rooms. Number eight is the W Hotel in Philadelphia. Don't they have a W in Philadelphia already? Maybe they needed another one. W Philadelphia, January 2020, so that's right around the corner they're going to open. 295 rooms. And the Grand, well, not the Ann, but Grand Hyatt, Nashville, fall 2020, 591 rooms. You know, Nashville has become, I guess it's been like a top destination for groups, right? That whole Music City vibe going on. I hear it's a cool place to go. I have not been to Nashville before, but I always hear good things about it. Like it's an up-and-coming area for groups and things like that, for conventions. So outside of the music, right? I mean, not just big for music groups, but groups of all shapes and sizes, right? I mean, or all whatever, associations, corporate, sports, whatever it is, Nashville has become that go-to city, if you will. So I think they're like in the top 10 of group cities to meet in. So Nashville, a Grand Hyatt, fall 2020, 591 rooms. All right, way to go. Number 10, the Otis Hotel, which is an autograph collection. Now, autograph collection, you know, that's Marriott, right? So it's called a soft brand, right? So more than likely, this like the Otis Hotel is like a historical hotel where it's been there for a long time, and they need to be known, so they become an autograph collection, so you can be under the Marriott umbrella, right? You can have the Marriott reservations. You can have everything, all the bells and whistles that Marriott gives the other hotels, but you're a soft brand, meaning it's an autograph. It doesn't say Marriott in a name or anything like that. It's basically the Otis Hotel autograph collection, but an autograph collection is part of the Marriott family, just in case you didn't know that. And that's in Austin. You know, Austin is up and coming. I mean, it's music capital. It's about to be the music capital of the world too. I mean, you know, you got all the rockers out there. You got that one, I can't think of the music show that goes on out there, but you know, Austin is hot these days. A lot of tech is in Austin as well. So not surprising that they're putting a 347 room hotel there. So that's early 2020. Contact information. How do you get a hold of Russell of Hotels? In just case you want to just give me a call, chop it up. That means just have a conversation, just talk, you know. Nothing, you know, you don't have anything to talk about. You just say, yeah, I'm going to call Russell and chop it up with him. That just means just talking. Just like right now, I'm chopping it up about the hotel industry. So that's what that means. So if you want to reach out to me, call me, contact me, ask me what the hell, heck, how the heck did I get a radio show, or what am I doing, or the things that I do, or how I can help out hotels or help you out in your career, just give me a call and I can answer those questions. Give me a call or email me. So this is my contact information. Russell at russellofhotels.com is my email. Twitter, you know, I'm on all social media platforms, okay? I'm always posting. Check it out. Twitter at Russell of Hotels, IG, Russell of Hotels, LinkedIn, Russell L. Edmond, Facebook. And I have two of those, Russell L. Edmond and Russell of Hotels. And then I have a website, and that's russellofhotels.com. You know, you don't have to put the www in front of it anymore. Just in case you wanted to, you could. And I'm going to take a little water. I want to thank everybody for joining in on not just on the LA Talk Radio site, but on Facebook Live. So we are on Facebook Live, just in case you wanted to see, you know, what I'm wearing today. You know, I have my new glasses on. Well, they're not new anymore, but if you just tuned in today, they're new. So, and I need them for reading only, so I don't walk around with these glasses on. Just FYI. But I want to, like I said, I want to thank, you know, the Facebook Live audience for joining in too. Appreciate that. And did you know this is a live show, right? So like I said, no take two. I'm not going to stop and say, oh, we got to take two. No, it's live. So it's live and it's raw. It's Hospitality Unplugged. Okay. So in fact, why don't you look up hashtag Hospitality Unplugged. Look that up and see what comes up. Because that's my hashtag, right? But anyway, show will be on iTunes. Okay, it's a live show now, but you know it becomes a podcast after it's become a live show. Okay, so after this, my guy Ronan, who's a producer here for LA Talk Radio, he will put it on the podcast platform. So you can go to your favorite podcast platform and just look it up. Or you can just Google On Air with Russell of Hotels, or just Google Russell Edmond, Russell of Hotels, however you want to do it, you'll find me. So if anybody's looking for me, you know where to find me. Sponsorship opportunities. People ask me, hey, what is this sponsor? You always mention the sponsorship thing. Yeah, you can, either you can be a guest on the show, or you can, like you see my Russell of Hotels sign right there, that if you're on Facebook Live, you can see that. Just imagine your logo, your company right there. Just like last week, I had Dave Dougal, who is a director of sales and marketing with the guest book. He was a guest last week, and his he wasn't even here. He did it via Skype because he was on his way out of town, and he so graciously still wanted to be on the show. And I went ahead and, you know, did his logo and everything, printed it out, and that way you can see. You may not have been able to see him, but you were able to see his company name because it was displayed here, just like Russell Hotels is displayed. So Russell Hotels is actually the sponsor for On Air with Russell Hotels today. So just imagine your company name right there and for the world to see. Now, remember all the social media platforms that I have, right? So you got LinkedIn, you got Twitter, you have IG, you have Facebook. So all those people see the logo or your logo, where they see you if you happen to be here. So you don't have to be here to have that displayed. So you just give me a call, and that's called a sponsorship. You just give me a call, and we'll talk about that. But, I mean, have access over 50,000 people that can, at any given time, they can look. People that, you know, who are the makeup of the people? So people always ask, well, who are the makeup of these people? Who are these buyers? Who's going to be buying my product or my service or my hotel or whatever? Well, I would say, like I say, I always tell people it's 50-50. 50% hotel people or hospitality people. I always say hotel people because that's where I come from. I come from the hotel world, but it's hospitality. So that can be restaurants, that can be hotels, it can be CVBs, tourism boards, DMCs, XYZs, transportation companies. No, there's no XYZ. I just threw that in there. So it can be airlines, it can be anybody, any of those executives or those directors or those managers. Those are people that listen to the show. Okay. The other people are the people that actually buy. So, you know, it can be doctors, lawyers, you know, people that, you know, have group needs, people that stay in hotels, people that travel, and they look for hotels, you know, so there you go. And I always talk about non-branded hotels versus branded hotels. So I want to make sure everyone knows, everybody gets a piece of the pie, right? I don't just promote branded hotels. You know, I'm not just all about Hilton, Marriott, Hyatt, or who, IHG. No. I'm probably more pro independent and boutiques than anyone because I come from that world as well. I mean, I started with the brands, but my last several hotels were actually non-branded or independent boutique hotels. So I have the experience as well. So, and I know that they need help with exposure, okay? Being relevant, okay? So that's some of the things that I do. But anyway, I don't know how I get caught up on other stuff, right? So I'm supposed to be going down the sponsorship. So you can sponsor your company. That's about what I was saying. So, and then in order to do that, just like I said, just reach out to me, russell@russellofhotels.com. Who listens? Our feeder cities would be L.A., Orange County, Chicago, San Francisco, and New York. So people within those markets listen. Now, I do go as far as I've had people in Europe, the U.K. specifically, Bahamas, Jamaica, and the Philippines. They listen or they watch as well. So there you go. There you go. And they do travel into the U.S. because the show, although it's based here in L.A., I live in L.A., but the show is in Sherman Oaks, which is in the Valley. It goes everywhere, okay? This is internet radio. I put it on all my social media platforms. So I have people from around the world that follow me or they're interested in what I do. Why, I don't know. But anyway, they are. So just so you know, it's not all just about the broadcast here. It's about when I put it on my social media platforms, LinkedIn, Twitter. You know, the sky's the limit when you put it on the social media. So we all need to know that, right? I think we do know that. I think I kind of beat those subjects to death, you know, as far as being relevant, staying relevant, how to be relevant. You know, that's kind of one of the things that I do for my own brand. I want to stay relevant. I want to be relevant. I want to make sure people know what I'm doing. And I even fall short of that. I mean, I put everything out and then I come across people. They're like, well, what do you do again? And these are people that I know, right? And I'm like, what do you mean? What do I do? Don't you see me on, you know, Facebook Live and all that? No, we don't. Okay, well, this is what I do. So just because you think they, you know, people know what you do, a lot of times they don't. So make sure you're exhausting every effort to get your message out to people. That's what I always try to tell people. I mean, that's social media. That's what it's for, right? But not everybody looks at every platform, right? So that's why I kind of spread things over multiple platforms. I don't just rely on Instagram to put stuff out because everybody that listens to me or everyone that I know, they don't have Instagram. Okay. Like my mom. Okay. She doesn't have Instagram or Twitter, but she has Facebook, right? So I want to make sure I put stuff on Facebook so her and her friends or family, you know, they can see, you know, see me or see what I'm talking about or whatever. So there you go. I just want to use my mom as an example. So that was it. What does Russell of Hotels do? What is the Russell of Hotels group? Well, it's a group of things that I do, right? It's not a group of people, you know, like there's four chairs, three other chairs here. And it's like, not, you know, they're never going to be occupied unless I have a guest here. So I don't have a group of people, but I have a group of things that I do. So business development is first and foremost. I have implemented a new partnership several weeks ago with Broughton Hotel. So business development. So my job is to help them basically increase their awareness that they're trying to find new hotel opportunities to manage or hotels to manage. So they're a management company. They currently have 15 hotels. They're looking to expand their portfolio. So my job with them is to assist them with that. And that's within the United States. So I just talking to someone this morning, just getting information, right? It's amazing how much education is out there for you. You know, but the education comes from people that you already know, right? So when I embarked on this, there's people that I knew that I was going to call to assist me with this, or at least, you know, they'll give me information on how I could do this, how I can do that, how I can get in front of the right people in order to make this business development thing work, right? I can't do it on my own because guess what? I'm one person, but if I can get another person that's heavily involved in it to let them know what I'm doing, then, i.e. having someone else introduce me, that's how it works, right? So that's how anything works, right? So that's what I'm trying to do. So I reach out to someone this morning, someone I've known for years, that like a VP with this major hotel company, and he gave me some sound advice on what I should do, right? And who I should talk to. He's going to introduce me to a couple of people, and then we're going to go from there. So, but if I didn't keep in touch with him, there's no way I could have called this guy and just said, hey, you know, after 30 years of knowing you, and I haven't talked to you in 30 years, now all of a sudden I'm going to call you and ask you for this. No, it's all about keeping in touch with people. And I'm going to get into that because that's part of what I'm going to talk about today. So business development, that's one thing. So exclusively with Broughton Hotels, that's what I'm doing. So I'm trying to, like I said, expand their management portfolio. They have 15 hotels now. So, you know, we're going to try to double that by 2020, or by the end of 2020, something like that. That's what we're going to try to do, at least. That's what we're, that's my job to do. So that's my story, and I'm sticking to it. So I'll be talking about that every week. So I'm going to beat that one to death. Hotel site selection. So hotel site selection is, you know, companies, organizations, individuals, they need assistance with finding the right hotel for their group. I just got a call this morning from someone that is doing a women's conference. Okay. So she needed some help with that. So I'm going to do that for her. I mean, it's small, but that's okay. We do everything. 10 rooms or more is considered a group, right? I think this is 50 rooms or something like that, which is good. That's fine. I'll do it all. So I put out an RFP, and to several hotels, she specifically named the hotels that she wanted to for this program to take place. So I'm going to send the information to that hotel. The hotel will send me back rates and information. I share that with my client, and my client will make the decision. And then as far as the contract negotiations, I do that as well. So I look at the contracts, make sure there's everything that needs to be in there, and the stuff that doesn't need to be in there is not in there, okay? Because, you know, hotels will put stuff in there. It can be a boilerplate contract, meaning everything's in there. They don't take anything out. So basically, my job is to go through the contract or the agreement and make sure the stuff that needs to be in there is in there. And make sure I clarify that with the client as well. Like, okay, this is what this means. This clause means this. This clause means that. You don't need this. Let's take this out. You know, let's have the hotel take it out. So so that's my job. So basically, it can be 10 rooms. It's 10 rooms or more is considered a group, which I mentioned before. But it can go as high as whatever you need. So it goes from meetings, small meetings, conferences, conventions. It can go any size. It can go, like I said, 10 rooms and go to 1,000 rooms, 5,000 rooms, 10,000 rooms, a citywide convention. Whatever it is, Russell Hotels is here to assist you. What else do I do? Digital marketing. So you look at my Facebook pages and all that stuff. I do a lot of things for hotels, for destinations. I think the last thing I did was for Santa Fe, New Mexico. So a lot of stuff there. In fact, I just did a little video for them again, just stuff to, you know, the food, culinary arts that are in Santa Fe were just unreal. It was just great. I mean, I had a great time. I'm still using some of the spices that I had that I purchased there. Green chili, Anaheim chilies are big out there. They call them something else there, but they're Anaheims here in L.A. or California. But it's the same, basically the same chili. But I've been using that like crazy since I got introduced to a couple different dishes there. Then they were vegan dishes. I've been using those here. So isn't that great? You go, you travel, you see, you know what a lot of these cities have to offer. And, you know, everything with me revolves around food. So anytime someone has something vegan and it's something that's good, oh, yeah, I'm going to use it. So Santa Fe, hashtag the city different, you're on my list, okay? So I want to return, and I love the influence there. Radio show host. That's the fourth thing that I do. So I do business development, hotel site selection, digital marketing, and I'm a radio show host. And most of the times I interview today's hospitality professionals. Today is not one of those days that I'm interviewing anyone. I'm just talking to myself, right? So every now and then I just love to hear myself talk. I'm sure there's some people saying, yeah, you do. But who's on blast? Now, these are guests that I want on the show, right? and you're not on that long, okay? Like last week, Dave Dugo was here, right? No, he wasn't here. We did it via Skype. But he asked me beforehand, he said, well, how long is this interview? And I said, typically it's about 20, 25 minutes. So it doesn't take the whole show. I mean, the show goes for 50 minutes, almost an hour. But you know, the interview itself is probably about 25 minutes. So if I ask you to be on the show, you know that it's only going to be about 20, 25 minutes. Okay. It's going to be, I'm going to hit you hard. You're going to talk about it and we're going to get you off. So there you go. I mean, get you off the show. So there you go. So who's on blast? And these are people that I respect in the industry. So it's not, being on blast is not a bad thing. Okay. It's just people that I want, people that I respect in the industry, people that I want on the show, because guess what? They have a story to tell. How they got in the industry, if they went to school, if they didn't go to school, doesn't matter. They have a story. If they work here, they work there, they bounced around, I don't care what you did. You're in the hospitality industry. People want to hear it. Everyone has a different story. So that's why I want you on the show. Brian Churchill, VP, LA Tourism. You're on blast. Carol Motley, a.k.a. C-Mont, Director of Convention Sales, Destination D.C. Luis Torres, Universal Studios. You're on blast. Stephanie Corsino, Hong Kong Tourism. You're on blast. Sam Thompson and Matt Diamond, Sync Meeting Management. You're on blast as well. Special thank you to Mr. Dave Dugo. I've been mentioning his name probably three or four times already. So I'm mentioning you again. So thank you again for being a guest on my show last week. He's a DOS at The Guestbook. Check out The Guestbook, theguestbook.com. It'll tell you what The Guestbook is. If you're an independent hotel that happens to be listening, this is something you need to be involved in. It doesn't cost you anything. In fact, you know, we were talking about direct bookings. You know, we want people to go to your site to book hotels instead of going through a third party. A third party would be an Expedia, hotels.com, you know, Trivago. Those are all third party sites. Okay. Hotels want you to go to their site. So if it's, I don't know, let's say the Georgian Hotel, just because that's one of my favorite hotels. Go to georgianhotel.com and they want you to book direct. They don't want you going through Expedia to book the Georgian, okay? Because there's added fees and all that kind of stuff. The rates may be lower, but the hotel has to pay, you know, the commission on the back end, which you don't know. So it's better for the hotel if you book with them direct, okay? It still could be the same price, because a lot of times you see it Expedia and if it's the Georgian, they're the same price. But what you don't know is that there's a heavy commission that's on the back end for Expedia. So not that I don't like Expedia. They serve a purpose too. Okay. But hotels, I'm speaking from the hotel side, the boutique side, the independent side, they want you to book direct. That's it. What else? What else? What else? Introduction of today's topic. I'm going to take a couple minutes. It's already 1:39. I mean, God, I talk a lot? Man, no wonder I'm thirsty. What is my topic for today? You know, I'm speaking from a hotel side or a tourism side, speaking from the sales side, okay? So whatever, if you're tourism, CVB, DMC, XYZ, hotel, travel, whatever, I'm speaking from the sales side. So, you know, I do a lot of trade shows, right? I go to a lot of trade shows. I do fam trips. I do all this kind of stuff, right? And hotels or tourism boards or whatever, they spend a lot of money on inviting guests to come to their destination or to come to a trade show, you know, to sell their wares, if you will, right? Everyone has a booth at a trade show, right? And some of them are decorated elaborately. I mean, they pull out no punches. They pull out no stops. They're whining and dining you. They're you know, pouring champagne. They're feeding you. They have beer. I mean, they have everything at some of these shows. It's just sushi. I mean, there's stuff that just, I'm like, I just shake my head. Sometimes I walk out of these shows, IMAX in particular, I walk out of that show and I'm like shaking my head, because these hotels and destinations, transportation companies, they're spending a lot of money on these things. I mean, thousands of dollars, hundreds of thousands of dollars to get this stuff from where they are. Because at IMAX, you know, companies or organizations from around the world are represented there. So my question is, once they spend all this money and they meet a couple people, then what? What do they do? Do they contact the people? Do they follow up? Because I get a few phone calls. Say I had 20 appointments at IMAX. Guess how many phone calls or emails that I received? Probably about 7. Okay. So that always makes me wonder, are these the right people? Are they sending the right people to trade shows? But or what are they doing? Are they not value what I, you know, my business that I have? Because a lot of times I do go and I do have an RFP. Okay. So I don't just go, I may not have an RFP for everyone, but for certain people or certain destinations or in certain regions, I do, right? So I don't have anything for Kenya, Africa, okay? I don't have anything for them, but I may have something for Spain, right? You know what I mean? I was working on this yoga retreat, okay? And Spain was one of the countries that came up. So I did have something for them, but I didn't have anything for Africa. I didn't even go to the Kenya booth. I just use that as an example. So, my question is, we spend all this money on trade shows, doing sales calls, lunch with clients, sales missions, whatever you want to call them. But what do we do after those things are over? Do we follow up like we're supposed to? And this is, like I said, this is directly to the salespeople, you know, the salespeople of the CVBs, of the hotels or the DMCs. Do you follow up the way you should? Because like I said, out of 20, and I just use 20 as an example, the 20 appointments that I had, only about 7 people actually emailed me to follow up on the RP that I gave them, because I only met with people that I knew that could use me, that I could use. That, you know, is a possibility that I could bring a group to them, right? But the other people didn't even respond back. I mean, how much time am I supposed to give them to respond back? Am I supposed to respond back? No. As a salesperson, they're supposed to, or they should. And this is what, when I was in sales, when you came back and you had a trip report to file with the director, i.e. me, I need to know who you met with and what's the plan of action. What are we going to do once we get this stuff? Once you get back, you get acclimated, what are you doing now? Did you send them, you know, thank you emails or thank you cards or whatever? Do you know what they requested? Do you know their parameters for their meetings or whatever? Did we ask enough questions? Did you take notes? Because I'm going to ask, right? So I'm always kind of, well, am I concerned? Well, I don't know if that's the right question. Am I concerned? Because it's not coming out of my money. It's not coming out of my budget. Excuse me. But I'm just always wondering what happens to that information. You know, you send these people out here to do this dog and pony show. That's what I call it, right? You know, they pull out all the bells and whistles. They're pouring champagne. They're pouring beer, wine tastings, sushi, everything, Korean barbecue, whatever. I mean, you may, whatever that is indigenous to that particular destination, they sometimes bring that stuff to the show, right? So if they're big on like flamenco dancing, they bring flamenco dancers to the show, right? I mean, so they spend a lot of money to put on this big show and then they don't follow up. So that stuff that just kind of, I always think about that. What happens now? I mean, that's what I think about. And I guess that's what I thought about, you know, that's when you're a director of sales, you know, what keeps you up at night? I remember this, my VP of sales and marketing, his name was Reggie McDowell. He was interviewing me for a position. He was like, if anyone that knows Reggie McDowell, you know, he has this real kind of deep voice and he looks over his glasses when he's talking to you. And he's like, one of the questions he asked me, going, what keeps you up at night? What keeps me up at night? I don't know. Did the Rams win? I don't know. What keeps you up at night? But yeah, that was one of the questions that he would ask, you know, in relation to your, you know, a job. I guess maybe it was anything. I said, what do you mean? My job, my family, what? He said, well, whatever. And I told him what keeps me up at night. I said, provided for my family. That's what he goes, oh, okay. Good answer. So those are things that as a director, I guess that would keep me up at night. Because guess what? I'm going to be asked too. Okay, what was the ROI on that last show that we did? Or that last, you know, the sales calls that, you know, sales managers went on. What is the ROI? Because at the end of the day, the sales managers have to produce some type of ROI to make sure that those shows they were going to or that you're going to are viable sources to get business, right? I mean, that's at the end of the day, that's what salespeople, they go to these shows to get business. Yeah, there's a lot of fun. There's a lot of entertainment that's going on. You know, you stay up all night, you drink all day, whatever. But at the end of the night, or at the end of the day, especially when you get back to your office, your director or your GM or the ownership group is looking for an ROI, which means return on investment for people that, you know, may not know what that means. But that's what they're looking for. So we spend $1,000. I'm just asking, what do we do? Because I'm just, and I just relate to my own experience. Like I said, I went to IMAX, 20 people that I met with, only 7 people responded back to me or sent me something like, thank you for coming by. Can we follow up on that yoga retreat? Or, you know, I have, there's my proposal. You know, there's a myriad of ways they could respond to me. They didn't have to call me. You mean, these days we have email. Who calls people anyway? So those are things that, I mean, that's kind of something that just kind of made me think. And then also, you know, when we're at these trade shows, are we being welcomed? Are we welcoming people into our booth? Or are we just like sitting down and hopefully they don't come by, you know? I'm closed. You know, when you're in your booth, when the hours are going on, excuse me, you're open. I mean, regardless if they had an appointment or not, okay, because sometimes you don't have an appointment. They're looking at you like, why are you stopping by here? Well, not all of them do this, but some of them do. They're like, well, you know, why are you stopping here? What do you need? You know, blah, 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 blah. Like, well, I'm just want information on XYZ destination. If anything, just give me information. I mean, that's what you're there to provide. Give me information. Welcome me into the booth. You know what I mean? Or to, you know, your table. That's one thing that I learned in doing trade shows years ago was that, you know, everyone, now people have gotten better with this, but, you know, everyone got a, and this is like, say, in a ballroom, not necessarily at IMAX, because IMAX is real elaborate, right? So you get a 6-foot table. This is just a standard trade show. You get a 6-foot table. And a cloth, a tablecloth is, you know, it's draped, right? It's, the table's draped. So you can put all your stuff on there. But a lot of people keep the table in front of the, you know, where your space is. So say you got a 10 by 10 space and you keep the table in the forefront, meaning at the you know, in the aisle almost. Well, what I learned is that you pull that table back, you put it in the back, and then it creates a welcoming, you know, vibe, I guess. Because the table's in back, and you're right there in front. So when people walk by, you can, you know, reach and shake their hands. You can pull them in, and then they're more likely to talk with you, right? But if the table's up front, and then you're in back of the table, you know, there's like a barrier there. But you remove the table from the equation, and you stand in front, that gives a more welcoming feel, right? So I see some of these, most booths now, I mean, people do pull them back. But, you know, occasionally you'll see those people that are sitting behind the desk, and you shouldn't be sitting down anyway, right? You're working. You should be standing up. You know, your job is to welcome people in and talk about your hotel, your destination, or whatever the heck you're supposed to be selling. So I don't know why I got on that thing, but just sometimes you know, you just wonder, like, they spend all this money to come here and they're, you know, not welcoming, they're not following up. So what are they doing, right? So, and I understand, you know, meeting planners can be, you know, they can be how they are. They can be demanding. They can want things. They can, you know, want things that basically they're not owed. I've seen it before. I'm not one of those people, just so you know. But if you're getting, give me something, that's something else. But I'm not demanding anything, right? So I'm going there to, I'm fact finding, I'm getting information. That's what I'm doing. That's my whole job. That's what I'm there to do. I'm there to fact find for my clients, right? So client may not be interested in one destination. But I'll tell you up front, like say, hey, I have not met in, you know, Chicago before, but, you know, I am looking because I never know where my clients want. So if you're upfront with the salesperson or whoever's in that booth or whatever, they'll understand, right? Like, oh, okay, well, let me tell you about these hotels or tell you about our destination, blah, 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 blah. Okay, well, that's cool. But sometimes people, if you don't have it marked on, you know, as you're going to have an event in our city or our destination, we don't want to talk to you. Well, what does that do for the salesperson or for the meeting planner? Like, well, now you don't want to talk to me? Okay, well, I'll go to another, maybe I'll go to your competitor city then. Man, that's not what you want, right? So I guess what I'm saying is, first of all, you have to follow up with people. Two, you need to do your homework on clients. And three, you need to, regardless if you think they have business for you or not, you need to treat everyone like they do have business for you, if that makes sense at all. So I got off on that. That wasn't a tangent. That was actually something I thought about this morning. I'm like, what am I going to talk about today? And that's always a dilemma for me, right? Now, what am I going to talk about? And that's what came to me. It's like, they spent all this money, and now what? You spend thousands of dollars on trade shows, and that's just $1,000 for the trade show. What about getting there? What about your hotel that you need? You still have to pay for it. What about transportation? You still have to have all that stuff too, right? So the $1,000 just for the trade show itself. Well, what about the other $1,000 for the other stuff? So, but there's always a ROI that people are looking for, especially hotels are looking, especially these days. I mean, you have to have an ROI, or one, they won't do the show anymore, or two, you won't be there anymore. So, because you're not making your numbers, you're not making your goals. So there you go. So that's it. That's what I want to talk about, right? So I think that was it. Yeah. There's some other stuff I want to talk about as far as how we qualify business and things like that. And this is for, of course, it's not for the people that are experts in this. I try to educate people that don't know how the hotel process works or the CVB process works, because there's a lot of people out there that listen that maybe they may be planning meetings, or they want me to plan a meeting, but they don't know the ins and outs of it. So my job as a radio show dude or person or whatever on air with Russell of Hotels is to kind of educate as many people as I can. So knowing that there's a process to everything, because sometimes people don't understand why they can only give so many rooms, or why are there food and beverage guarantees, or whatever, why you can't give, you know, free parking. You know, there's a lot of things that people don't know because they're not educated on it. Right. So a lot of meeting planners aren't educated on things. But, you know, my job is to ask those questions of hoteliers. Hey, well, this is what I need. This is what the client needs. Can you do it? Well, I can't do that. Well, why can't you do it? Well, if you can't do that, can you do something else? You know, so that's called negotiation. Negotiation is a give and take. Right. You know, it's not one sided. It's everybody wants to be, you know, everybody wants the win-win, so to speak. Right. So but I'm gonna talk about that next week, I think. You know, how did we make those decisions to take this particular business? You know, who knows about RevMax? I mean, we maximize our revenue, you know, RevMax meetings. Who's had RevMax meetings, you know, for pieces of business? Should we take it? Should we not? You know, those are things that I'm going to talk about. I don't know if I'll talk about next week, but those are things that just came to me, right? So I'm going to write that down now. So hopefully I'll remember that for next week. So anyway, I thank everyone for joining On Air with Russell of Hotels. Hashtag hospitality unplug. I do appreciate you guys. Appreciate the Facebook Live people as well. Remember, this does become a podcast after. So feel free to just Google Russell On Air Russell of Hotels. Hashtag hospitality unplugged. I mean, you can do all that stuff and things will just pop up. You know, you'll find out where the latest podcast is, and I'll put notes on for today as well. So thank you so much. It is 1:53. I'm out of time. So you guys have a great day, great week, and I will talk to you soon. Take care.
Thank you for joining On Air with Russell of Hotels. Please tune in every Tuesday at 1 p.m. as we talk to other hospitality professionals. Your feedback is important. Email Russell at Russell at russellofhotels.com with any questions or suggestions. Until next time, try not to be a person of success, rather become a person of value.